the Sega Genesis Mini, and more coming up on today's episode of the Lace and Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is the Lace and Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that follow button right now so that you don't miss out on the next episode. We do this daily around these parts, and if you're on the go and you want something to listen to, you can listen to this show on the go via podcast. Search for us in any podcast app that you're listening on. I guarantee you'll find the latest in tech news. And if you're off on the go but you want to tune into the video of today's show, always head on over to youtube.com/tech news gadget. Finally, we do have a giveaway going on right now. We will be giving away a prize at the end of the month, at the end of August. We're about halfway through right now. So if you want to enter, details are at technewsgadget.net/giveaway. And thank you to all the new follows who came in. Appreciate it. So with that being said, the title for today's show is we'll be taking a look at the Sega Genesis Mini for our feature story, followed by a Foxconn employee might have just leaked a ton of new iPhone 11 details, so we'll be taking a look at that, seeing if there's anything new worth looking at. We'll also be taking a look at Instagram hiding likes. You might be happier in the end. It's an article that I have covered probably like a month or two back, but it came back again because it's being rolled out farther, reach more countries, more people test. Anyways, we'll also be taking a look at Chrome OS finally supporting virtual desktops and what this might mean for Windows virtual machines. Also, we'll be taking a look at some gaming news, specifically THQ Nordic announcing an acquisition of multiple companies and what games are associated with said companies we'll be taking a look at. We'll also be taking a look at Spelunky 2, unfortunately being delayed because there's a delay issue, so we'll be getting into that. And finally, we'll be taking a look at everything you need to know about Destiny 2's new armor system. But before we can, let's take a look at what happened today in tech history. All right, today is August 14th, 2019. On this day in history, in 2006, Dell and Sony admit that flaws in Sony-manufactured batteries used in certain Dell laptops could result in the batteries overheating, catching fire, or exploding. They recalled over 4.1 million batteries, the largest computer-related recall in history. This came after several widely publicized reports in the preceding months where Dell laptops did catch fire. Still, to this day, Dell's reputation has really never fully recovered from the incident. One could say their reputation kind of went up in flames, but they're not the only company immune to things catching fire. And speaking of, finally, on this day in history, in 1940, John Atanasoff finishes a paper describing the Atanasoff-Berry computer, or ABC, the computer he designed with Clifford Berry to solve simultaneous linear equations. Atanasoff was only able to claim credit for the paper and title of inventor of the electronic digital computer after a long court battle that ended in 1972. The case, initiated on charge by Honeywell Inc. that Sperry Rand Corp. had enforced a fraudulent patent, involved lengthy testimony by a whole bunch of people who held the patent under review. A judge's ruling that Atanasoff was the true inventor led to invalidation of the ENIAC patent. And in case you're wondering, a working replica of the original ABC computer was completed in 1997 by staff and volunteers at Iowa State University at Ames. And of course, it's like, why in the world do we have to have fights over computers? It's just technology. Who cares who gets credit? It's for the benefit of everybody, right? Right. So with that out of the way, let's head on over to today. Their feature story that we have lined. I'm sorry, my brain's kind of going. Can you tell? All right. So, feature story today, Sega Genesis Mini. Here's where you can pre-order it. And in case you're wondering, it is $79.99. Yes, that's $80 US, and it will be available on September 19th. How many of you guys are excited and looking forward to this? Sega's miniature Genesis console, the Genesis Mini, will be coming out on September 19th. But if you want right now, you can pre-order it at Amazon, Best Buy, GameStop, and Walmart. Now, pre-orders have actually been open for a few months, for those of you who didn't know, but a little bit more incentive now to put your money down. Today, August 14th, is the 30th anniversary of the console's original launch in the U.S. And, well, in case you're wondering, I guess there's an article about everything you'd want to know about the Mini Retro Console. Some of what you'll be getting with the purchase of the Genesis Mini is expected, including an HDMI cable, power adapter, and a miniaturized, lovingly recreated version of the Genesis console. But like Nintendo's NES Classic and the SNES Classic, Sega has gone the extra mile for Genesis, the Mega Drive if you live outside of the US fans. And speaking of those small but important touches, here's one. Hold the start button and you can return to the system's main menu instead of having to get up and hit the reset button on the console itself. You can also display the size of a library as if the games were on a bookshelf browsing the spines. It sounds like a small thing, but it's surprisingly nostalgic. As for the game list, there's a 42 title list coming out. Classics like Sonic the Hedgehog, Streets of Rage 2, Ghosts and Ghouls, but plenty of other deep cuts will be included in the Genesis Mini. So how many of you, put your hands up if you're getting it. I'm not. If I were to buy every single gadget and game that came out, I would go broke. I'd be well beyond broke at this point. I don't have the time to invest in every gadget and knickknack and game that's out there. I kind of pick and choose as it will, but this is definitely, definitely exciting news. It's high definition graphics, 16-bit. But it's only $80, so if you are interested, pre-order it now. Are you excited? Let me know down in the comments, or with a like, if you're watching this via the YouTube channel. Video, something, what's that called? Like, what's it called when you're on YouTube and you're watching, binge-watching? If you're binge-watching on YouTube, hit the like button. See, it's what people usually do when you're watching on YouTube. You hit the like button. And if you're watching live via Mixer, sparks would definitely be appreciated at this point, because I'm feeling a little bit sparkless, if you get what I'm saying. I'm kidding. You don't actually have to do that. I might just accrue sparks for myself and do a sparks dump on some other streamers. Speaking of which, do you know any streamer here on Mixer who is planning on using the Sega Genesis Mini? Playing on it, possibly even streaming with it? That is something I would love you guys to do some research on and see if you could get back to me. I would love to possibly have the person on the show, possibly follow them, watch them. Who knows? Might have some interesting tidbits. Mixer is a place where anybody can come, anybody can stream, anybody can have a great time, anybody can build a community. It doesn't just have to be on Twitch. I'm sorry, Twitch. I'm sorry, YouTube. I'm sorry, Facebook, for all your live streams. But I like Mixer for some odd reason. It has a feature in it that is missing on the other ones. So my thoughts on the Sega Genesis Mini: awesome, excited to hear it's coming back, excited to hear it's going to be having a nice setup on it, a nice selection of games to pick from, some good classics, but enough to keep you busy for quite some time. But I don't have that kind of time. If I had another life or a clone, possibly I'd go and do that. Actually, you want to know what I would do? I would have my clone go and play the video games for me and report back to me and tell me, you know, the games that are good, the games that aren't, and what they like and not like about the system. But it's exciting, exciting news nonetheless. With that out of the way, let's head on over to the next article we got lined up. All right, well, there's a new leak about the iPhone 11, and this one actually is coming from a Foxconn employee. So, currently right now in the smartphone, mobile phone industry, the Galaxy Note 10 and Note 10 Plus are a week away from being released. Huawei has a killer new flagship phone on the way. The OnePlus 7T Pro will likely debut soon, and Google's hotly anticipated Pixel 4 and Pixel 4 XL are being announced less than 2 months from now. A lot of flagship phones coming out, and it seems like everybody's looking at Apple for some weird, odd reason. I don't know why. For as much as we talk about it around here, one would think, well, you guys are real excited about Apple coming out and Apple doing this and new iPhone net. No, not really. It's not going to be a really killer year in terms of a flagship smartphone for Apple. This is more like, hey, look, it's a flash in a pan, and oh, where'd it go? 5G? Oh,
is 2020.
That's how it's going to go down. But the iPhone 11R, 11, and 11 Max, or 11, 11 Pro, or Pro Max, currently in rumors, won't be huge upgrades compared to the current iPhone XS lineup. In fact, the iPhone 11 lineup in 2019 is shaping up to be just like the iPhone 7 lineup in 2016. Apple decided to reuse the same hardware design for a third consecutive year with the iPhone 7, but added some new features and an upgraded camera. This year, the iPhone 11 series will look exactly like the XS, XS Max, and XR from the front, and the back will be about the same, aside from some new rear cameras, according to multiple independent reports. Apple's two flagship iPhones will have a triple-lens camera, while the entry-level iPhone 11 will sport a dual-lens rear shooter. Now, well, we might have learned even more about these unreleased Apple phones thanks to a huge leak. As a refresher, here's what Apple's new iPhone 11 handsets are expected to look like. Interesting new look, triple camera setup. And if you're missing this on the podcast, it's because you're an audio-only listener. And if you want to join us over at mixer.com/technewsgadget, you can watch us live, or you can always catch the replay of the show over at youtube.com/technewsgadget. So, as you can see, they look a whole lot like the iPhones that are currently out, but they have a new square camera bump that's color matched to the back of the phone. Also, pretty cool is the fact that reports from at least two reliable sources say that the back of the iPhone 11 series handsets will be one continuous piece of glass, including the camera bump, so there won't be a separate piece of metal sticking out of the glass like there is on the XS currently. There are plenty more details that have already been rumored, but now a Foxconn employee has supposedly leaked a bunch of previously unknown info about the unreleased phones. The following is a screenshot of an email that was posted this morning. For those of you who can't read Chinese, don't worry, I can't. I can only make out like a couple words here. There's 3 and 4 and a 10 and big and lightning. Yeah. Now, we can't confirm the origin of the note, of course, but Antutu claims that its inside source is legitimate and reliable. I guess the people reporting it here, yeah, the Chinese language blog. If the intel is genuine, there are definitely a few interesting tidbits to be found. According to this supposed insider, the iPhone 11 models will come in four colors, not three. In addition to space gray, silver, and gold, there's a new dark green color that has been added, which is interesting. New color. Certainly a precedent for a move like this. Back in 2016, Apple added jet black to its iPhone 7 lineup when it decided to use the same hardware design for three consecutive years. In addition to the new color, the alleged Foxconn worker says the glass on the back of the small phone, or of the smartphone, has a matte finish and the word iPhone is no longer printed on the back. Beyond that, the supposed insider claims that the new iPhones will retain Apple's Lightning port as opposed to switching to USB-C, which is something that had been rumored briefly. 64GB, 256GB, and 512GB sizes will be made available, and there will reportedly be no increase to charging speeds. And the battery looks good as well. Apple is expected to unveil the new iPhone 11 lineup during a press conference on either September 10th or 11th. And a leak suggests that they will go on sale on Friday, September 20th. Yeah, I just had to close the window there real quick. I'm right by a window. So obviously they have construction or other noises or cars or whatever going by, so I didn't want that to get picked up by the mic. But yeah, that's what we're looking at so far. And if you can decode what you're looking at on the screen right now, hats off to you. You can read Chinese. I can't. My Chinese is so-so. And by so-so, I mean so-so bad, because I haven't used it in a while. I should probably get on that. Yeah. All right. And some more news we got. Instagram is hiding likes. And for those of you all upset about it, he actually might be happier in the end of it. Case in point, Lindy Cohen's Instagram photos illustrate the power of healthy living. The Australian nutritionist features meals she's prepared for the week and moves gracefully through yoga poses. And she also shares side-by-side photos to show how glamorous photos on the social network diverge from real life. You see, Instagram has an image problem, which is propped up by this idea of, well, I should look good on camera, but my life could be an absolute mess behind the scenes. And I don't want them to see any of that. So, Still, the 29-year-old grapples with an unhealthy habit, obsessing over how many likes her Instagram photos receive, and she's not alone in this. The number of likes has prompted Cohen to question which photos or videos to share with her 99,000 followers. Even though she knows it's unhealthy, Cohen has compared herself to more popular Instagram users. According to an interview, she said, "We can get addicted to chasing likes instead of chasing great content." And here's the thing. Valid point. More people might resonate with some content as opposed to other content, but that really shouldn't be the basis. Now, Instagram is giving Cohen and other users a break from their fixation on likes. In a test that rolled out to more countries last month, the Facebook-owned photo sharing service is hiding the number of likes and video views each post gets, so the rest of the world can't really tell how popular it is. You, however, will be able to see the likes and video views your posts have gotten, but the public won't. Now, the move underscores how tech companies are thinking twice about features and products that can wreak havoc on your mental health. You see, Twitter is exploring whether to put likes and retweets behind a user tab in an effort to make conversions and conversations easier to follow. Facebook, Apple, and Google introduced tools last year to limit your screen time. It works out really well, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. In July, Pinterest scrapped its like button in 2017 and released emotional well-being activities such as deep breathing exercises and practicing gratitude, and photo app Visco, an Instagram competitor, doesn't publicly display the number of likes an image receives anyways. Now, hiding likes could alter what Instagram users decide to share on the platform and how they engage with other users. A Facebook spokesperson said Instagram launched a test to remove the pressure of how many likes a post will receive, allowing users to share authentically and comfortably on the site. See, to me, this is similar to a move, a statement of fact by YouTube saying, you know, you need to be authentic and comfortable in it, and you shouldn't just go for views because that's not going to get you much. You shouldn't go for likes because that's not going to get you much. You should go for comments because that's not going to get you much. They're all important factors to be considered, yes, but if that's the only thing you're determining is getting sucked into the numbers, you are immediately going to start losing the value of your content. You see, the thing with podcasts, we don't have those kind of measurements. All we know is that a podcast is either doing really well or not. We don't know the number of people who are subscribed to the feed. We don't know the number of people who liked it. We don't know the number of people who commented on it unless they happen to send us an email or contact us in a different way and preface that by saying they've listened to a podcast. You see, the only thing that the podcast shows is the download numbers, which can be a gauge, yes, to see how popular an episode might be or a show might not be, or maybe some things you need to tweak here and there. But the goal is being authentic, being comfortable behind the microphone. That's kind of why I've always liked podcasting and why I still have this as a podcast and why my original podcast still hasn't had an update since January of this year. I should probably really record an episode for that. But I'm doing too much and I'm punching the microphone too. So you can see I'm essentially comfortable in my own skin. I'm punching microphones. Hi. Earlier this year, a photo of an egg made headlines after it became the most liked photo in the social network's history. And yes, I shared that article as well. Speaking of which, I share a lot of stuff every single day here on the latest in tech news. And it's not just a feature article. I cover a lot of other articles as well. So now would be a good time. You see me nodding my head to hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss out. Now, reducing the stress that comes with a living online isn't simply about the health of users. Social media companies know that dialing down the pressure could be good for their business. After all, if users don't view social networks as positive places, it could make them worry about logging back onto the sites, and they will move elsewhere, as history has been shown to do. Facebook said it's excited by the early test results. Interviews with a handful of people participating in a test suggest that some users think hiding likes will improve their mental health. Others worry it'll lead to a drop in user engagement, making it harder for them to promote products they market on Instagram. To those who worry about it, if it's seriously you're all about the bling and the money and the products that you promote and market on Instagram, your bubble's going to pop anyway. It's going to show up soon enough. You're just an influencer. Start influencing people for good and stop worrying about your advertisers and a need to be able to make enough money to make the advertiser worthwhile. You know what? If it's worthwhile, it's worthwhile. And if it's not, you can tell the company to go suck an egg. See what I did there? See what I did? So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. The article does go on to explain a little bit. Let's see. Yeah, that they're expanding the testing and more people's feedback. It actually goes on for, well, a little bit. But yeah, Cohen, the nutritionist, says she hasn't seen engagement drop since Instagram started to test. Hiding likes and video views has encouraged her to take more risks, such as, well, posting raw video footage of a mannequin that's too small to fit the clothing it's wearing, which is actually pretty funny. She already gave the test her Instagram stamp of approval, saying goodbye to likes, hello to mental health. What are your thoughts? Let me know down in the comments. Let's move on to the next story. And only reason why is we have a lot of articles to go through, so obviously I just cover the articles, recap a little bit, and then ask for your feedback, and then we move on to the next one, in case you're new here. Moving on to the next article, Chrome OS is finally supporting virtual desktops. Something exciting, exciting to hear about. By the way, if you're wondering, hey, Taylor, how do I get all the articles that you covered in today's show? Great question. Head on over to technewsgadget.net, and there you can get all the show notes you want. Matter of fact, if you're listening via podcast, the show notes are right there. And however you get more information or description on today's episode, you can actually tap on the article themselves, well, the article title, to be taken directly to that site, and read the article in all photos, images, videos that go along with it. So you kind of have a benefit if you listen via the podcast. I'm just saying, you one up everybody else because they got to go clicking all over the place. Chrome OS is adding a mainstay feature that other computer platforms have supported for years. Virtual desktops. The newly released Chrome OS 76 supports virtual desks that, like elsewhere, lets you create app layouts that you can switch to in a heartbeat. You could have a focused writing space that revolves around Google Docs, for example, and another space that helps you keep up on your social networks, which is nice. I'm liking this feature. The update also brings easier media controls that include a centralized control in the system menu, and if accessibility is an issue, an automatic clicks option can activate whatever's under your pointer if you have difficulty with button presses. So I guess it isn't the whole virtual... Well, never mind. Windows has had... Anyways... For some, the biggest improvement may simply be knowing what updates do. Chrome Story noticed that Google had implemented a release notes feature that will tell you what's new with a Chrome OS update by pointing you to a summary page after the install. Now you shouldn't have to wade through a cryptic, developer-oriented changelog or wait for someone to stumble across the feature days later. It's an acknowledgement that everyday users want to stay informed and might just help users take advantage of upgrades that might otherwise be overlooked. And this is finally nice. Finally nice for a change. Moving on. Main reason why we got a lot of news to get to still. Speaking of, THQ Nordic is announcing the acquisition of multiple companies. For those of you who don't know, THQ Nordic has announced multiple new acquisitions within the industry, adding smaller studios and investment partners to their expanding video game industry empire. The first such acquisition is Milestone SRL, formerly Graffiti, an Italian developer best known for the work on multiple Superbike SBK and Motocross MotoGP titles, as well as the World Rally Championship series. Old school fans may also remember them from the screamer titles of the mid-90s. As one of the leading companies in the racing games industry, we have assembled an experienced team and a large and growing portfolio of titles that we believe fit perfectly with and benefit from THQ's network of development studios and publishing capabilities. So they're excited there for sure. Also joining Milestone under the media banner are Gunfire Games, who have worked extensively alongside THQ Nordic during the development of the popular Darksiders series, having developed the Darksiders 2 remaster as well as 2018's Darksiders 3. Having worked together, well, okay. If this is all you're going to do is have like a little statement that goes along with it, they're all excited. THQ Nordic and Gunfire Games are joining together. Finally, THQ Nordic have also acquired video game investment company Goodbye Kansas Game Invest. With this acquisition, THQ Nordic pick up the contracts of 5 early stage development studios: Palindrome Interactive, Fall Damage, Neon Giant, Kavarli, and Frame Bunker. As well as these, THQ Nordic secures the royalty rights for its own upcoming adventure title, Biomutant. Interesting. So that's a pretty successful shopping spree there for THQ Nordic and Koch Media, who added the above companies to other acquired studios such as War Horse Studios, Bugbear, and Coffee Stain, along with franchises such as Alone in the Dark, Kingdom Come, Time Splitters, Saints Row, Outcast, and Carmageddon, among many, many others. So, awesome. Except, now they're getting bigger. What are you going to do about that? Ooh, I know, start a new game company, like Epic Games. Oh man, I kid myself. Alright, more gaming news. Spelunky 2 won't be spelunking this year. Why? Because density and detail was causing a delay. So they're like, we need more time for that. Get out of here, screen. Spelunky 2 won't be making it out of development this year after all. Developer Derek Yu announced on Twitter that the follow-up to the original roguelike is just a little off the mark due to its level of complexity, and as a result, the team needs a little bit more time to finish it. That's okay, seeing as how Spelunky 1 hit the market quite well and got some pretty good reception off of it. I'd rather you guys fix the bugs and make sure everything works and everything's fun and everything's enjoyable and it's complex and it works well, rather than release it to the world and then have bugs and then go, oh, sorry guys, oh, you gotta go fix it. So development is still going well, and we're not far off target, but the density and detail of the game is demanding more time, you said in a series of tweets. As soon as we have a release date for Spelunky 2, we'll make sure to let you know. We can't wait to show you more, although of course the best way is for you to experience it for yourself at launch. All the crazy stuff we're adding makes me buzz with excitement. Oh man. My one question this time, can you actually get away with killing the shopkeeper straight off the bat? Like, without him even knowing. Like, without even having to go in and, you know, have to do these complex things where you try to, like, steal something and then not steal something and then go at from behind and then drop a bomb on him and blow him up and then get him mad and completely miss everything. Can you just take him out? Can you do, like, stealth mode and just, like, teleport, blink, take him out and then, like, not even worry about it and you get all the weapons? Would be awesome. Would be great. Then you won't have to pay ridiculous sums of money that he charges for all of it. So, for those of you wondering, Spelunky 2 is an ambitious sequel, introducing new characters and online co-op to the first game's roguelike exploration. You developed the first game almost single-handedly, and he's still leading the effort for the sequel. Neither cooperative nor competitive modes are where Spelunky excels, because the core of this game is designed around the exploits of a lone survivor in a hostile world. Spelunky doesn't extend a helping hand when you're down. And, I guess this was GameSpot's Spelunky review on it. It doesn't have mercy, and that stubbornness is one of the main reasons it's so hard to pull away from the game. When you finally conquer something that has been hounding you for hours, you feel like the best explorer on the planet, and that feeling overshadows all the hardships you overcame down the troubled path you traveled, including killing a stupid shopkeeper. Stupid pain in the butt. Alright, and finally, we got some Destiny 2 news. Apparently, a new armor system is showing up. Great. I'm so happy. Right after, I'm still trying to catch up to everything in Destiny 2. Anyways, let's read the article, shall we? On a live stream Wednesday afternoon, Bungie showed off its forthcoming overhaul of Destiny 2's armor system that will come when the Shadowkeep expansion arrives October 1st. You see, it is a pretty thorough rework of how armor works in the game, and while it's sorely needed, it might make Destiny even more of a grind depending on how it's implemented in the final release. Here's a summary of what at least Kotaku found out on the stream. Currently, every piece of armor in Destiny 2 comes with a power level and a set of perks. The armor power contributes to a character's total power level, and the perks give subtle stat boosts and benefits that let you do things like find more ammo of a certain type. They obviously make a difference, but in most cases they're quite subtle in a way that only hardcore players really appreciate as they try to optimize their character builds, and I really never got to like that upper level tier of, oh, I don't know. I don't even have that much time to like devote to it. I would have to become like a full-time Destiny 2 streamer just to understand everything about everything going on, and I don't even have the time for that. In Shadowkeep's new system, each piece of armor will start with two numbers attached, a power level and an energy level from 1 to 10. So maybe this will like, work out in my favor, because then I could just finally up it on a power level that's more around where I need it to be. Power functions Exactly as before, but energy is a new stat that functions as a budget for mods, which replace the basic perks armor used to come with. We got some images on the screen that looks like, well, basically, mods equip to your armor, like a traction mod that boosts your mobility stat, or an ammo finder mod that makes it easier to locate special ammo when you have a sniper equipped, will cost a certain amount of energy. Now, if you don't have enough energy to equip a mod, you'll either have to change your mod loadout or upgrade your armor tier, which will increase your energy level. And of course, energy type matters, so obviously void armor can only accept void or neutral mods, a decision that unfortunately may just extend grind time, maybe giving those higher level tier players something more to do in the interim. So, yeah, you got all these mods that you can set up, the energy that you can use along with them, however many energy costs it'll be along with it, if it's actually worth it. And then I'm guessing here, the higher the energy cost for it, there is glimmer cost that goes along with it, so you will have to have glimmer in order to attach these mods. Obviously, there's like a level 1 energy cost, and level 3, and level 4, and level 6, so you probably have to test them out to see how best that they work, but it's unclear whether or not perks as they exist on armor now will be gone. Will exotics still have their unique abilities? Or not? I don't know. Throughout the stream, it was kind of confusing. The developers said that players might want to hunt for better roles of their armor in the new system. That suggested either some perks, which are now randomly generated, will remain, or that the kind of mod slots available on a piece of armor will be randomized. Not quite sure. Like any change in Destiny, that means changes to the economy. Upgrading your armor tier will require a new currency called Ascendant Shards, while mods will become another bit of loot to chase. And in order to attach them, you need Glimmer. So you'll be able to find them in engrams or buy them from the gunsmith using mod components, which are a currency already in the game. The new armor system also brings a renewed focus on stats. Currently, we only have 3, mobility, resilience, and recovery. These stats all have a hard cap of 10. With Shadow Keep, they raised it to 100, and 3 stats from the original Destiny they decided to add back in, namely intelligence, strength, and discipline. Now, in order to make the difference in these stats more palpable in-game, every 10 points you'll get a bonus, like a percentage increase to your base movement speed for increasing your mobility. Now, on the cosmetic side of things, you'll be able to equip any ornament to any piece of armor, so you can look however you want, and ostensibly make it harder for other players you're competing against to know exactly what they're working with at a glance. Exotic armor, however, will always retain its unique appearance, so we'll have to wait for all that coming up and more. So if you guys are excited about this Destiny 2 armor changeup, let me know down in the comment section. For me, at first glance, I was reading this going, great, now I have more new stuff to do. But maybe it's kind of worked out to my benefit. You see, I didn't hit the level cap exactly just yet. I don't have a whole lot of gear that I'm really too worried about. So this might actually be a benefit for me that'll actually be able to get me to the point in the game and I can actually level up properly with the time that I do spend on it. I think that wraps it up. I think, was there anything else in this article? Hopefully there are no drawbacks, and hopefully it's a potentially cool addition that remains in the game and actually works out the way it's supposed to. Yeah. And with that, that wraps up this episode of the Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. Matter of fact, right after we get off recording this show, if you're over at mixer.com/technewsgadget, we'll be going right over to editing and then right over to playing some Spellforce 3. So join us for that as well. We do our best to have the show live every weekday at 8 p.m. Central. Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to let us know by clicking that like button and by leaving a comment if you're on YouTube. And if you're listening via podcast, let us know with a review via Apple Podcasts or whatever app you're currently listening on. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor American. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys. I'll see you on the flip side.